Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
And with us, we are off and running following the Olympic Games, following another injury to the Phoenix Suns, following it's the start of the Combine, following it's the start of spring training games, and much more. Thanks for being with us. We, of course, will be having John Wilner with us here on Monday. John wrote his column yesterday on Big 12 football following the transfer portal and recruiting and all that. And if you're an Arizona State fan, you're not going to be happy. If you're an Arizona fan, you will be happy. If you're a BYU fan, you'll be extremely happy. So it's never too early to talk about college football in the Big 12 conference. And John Wilner will be with us. Kyle Reno from Monster Card Shop. I was over at Kyle's at the Monster Card Shop on Saturday. They had a big rip. These Olympic cards, I don't know, Tysik, if you got that there, but I think I got it. There. These Olympic cards are, they're going. And now with what happened with Jack Hughes in the game winner, a lot of money there, guys. And the collectors, I think just for fun. Saturday, they had a big rip, and I was a couple hundred fans, and there was the Castile baseball team was over there. It's very homey and very down-to-earth. I like that. And dads with their kids collecting cards, and then there were the card collector dudes that came in with their stuff too. And so the Olympics are big, and I want to talk to Kyle about that in the business of sports. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I had a tremendous weekend, another cake on the candle for me. When my wife and I get to our birthday weeks, we make it a week. We golfed one day. We went out to a new restaurant, to the Mission. It was very good, over in Agritopia. And yesterday for my birthday, I got up early and I watched hockey. What else, right? It was really cool. So when I was a kid, the Miracle on Ice happened. So here we are all these years later. And to get to see the United States, the broadcast was tremendous. Kenny Albert is, man, is he good. And as I'm watching it, I'm feeling the emotions stir up. And there were the, Eddie Olczyk is there with him. And Eddie O was with the Coyotes for a bit. There are a lot of angles with the Coyotes. Buchegrass down on the ice was a backup goalie. It was, what am I talking about? Anyways, there are a lot of angles. Austin Matthews, of course, in the Valley. And there was a lot that was on the ice as I was taking it all in. So that was fun. It was fun. And so for the idea of the Olympics now coming to a close, we get closer to looking to Los Angeles and the Olympic Games. For me, I'm more of a Summer Olympics guy. I guess it's because I can't imagine what it's like to go down a slope at X amount of miles or to have a helmet and a four-man bobsled. If you're watching this, were there sports where you're saying, well, that looks kind of cool. I think I could do that. No. I don't know why there was so much curling on. There was curling, it seemed like, on every channel. If there was a break, I could find curling over on USA Network. I could find curling over on other networks that were showing the Olympic Games. But ice dancing's not really my thing. My wife was totally encapsulated by it. And that's why it does huge ratings. Big female audience there. So Olympics are behind us. I can't explain to you why we don't have hockey here right now, because it's just too easy. We don't have hockey in the Valley because we've had owners that are not committed to winning. They're just committed to making money. There's a big difference. I don't know if we ever have had a good owner with the hockey team. All the way back to when the Coyotes first got here, there were some nice people. There were some very competent individuals. But there was never, ever, there's never, ever been a group that felt like top to bottom. And I know that people get all bent out of shape when I talk about the Suns and Diamondbacks and Jerry, but that's just how it is. And I would say that what Derek and Ken are doing over the Diamondbacks are close, but we've never had a good ownership situation with hockey. And the building, you can complain all you want about the building. That's in the past. The people that sit and bitch about things in the past miss the cool things that are coming in front of them. I do not live life in my rearview mirror. I don't. So I try to figure out what can I do in my little slice of heaven known as Sports 360, being a member of the community, that would help in bringing the NHL back here. And there are certain people, Craig Morgan is one of those people in the media that is super plugged in. He's working with Paula now over at Cronkite. If Craig Morgan says something is happening, it's happening. That's how it is. It doesn't mean that others aren't into it. It's just they're spread so thin. They have to be out at the Super Cardinals getting dirt turned over and saying, oh, everything's going to be fixed. What? Really? They have to be at things that, you know, aren't as front and center as the hockey team being back here. The idea that we would not support NHL hockey, like yesterday was hard for me to watch that. It was like, God, man, I miss hockey. And I wasn't someone that would talk hockey inside and out, but I was a community guy on that. I love doing things around it. And did it move the needle? Doesn't matter if it did or didn't. It's the fact that we don't like to see teams leave. Okay. So I myself want to double down and do a little bit more, lean in a little bit more here on this platform and others with our company as to, okay, what is actually going on behind the scenes? Because you cannot tell me if you don't have good ownership. And if you have good ownership and you have a building, that's it. And I think that the Shane Doan connection is huge. There's some former Coyotes that are business people here in the Valley that I've spoken with that believe that there's momentum, but I can't go any further than that. You know, that's just where it is. I see sports bars around the Valley on their social media putting out, look at how busy we are. Does that equate to 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 season ticket holders? I don't know. The building's on the far west side, the answer is no. If the building is downtown and it has site problems, the answer is no. If the building is in central, like 101 and 202 area, so that everybody in the Valley can get to it, if it's on the far east Valley side, maybe because of all the growth that's going on. But these are things you have to discuss. It's not about who should our goalie be. You know, that doesn't work. What's the name? That doesn't work. I don't care what the name of the team is. I just want to have hockey back here. It's just me. I can't tell you why Dylan Brooks broke his hand. I can't tell you why Devin Booker's injured again. I have some theories on the Devin Booker side of things. There's really no reason to play Devin Booker. Like last night's game against Portland was one of those that if you paid money to go watch that game, I'm sorry. If you sat there and took 2 hours and 20 minutes of your life, because it's about how long games go, to watch that game, I'm sorry. It was one of those games that very early on, it's a back-to-back, it's Portland, it's a Sunday night at 6, we got to fill the date, and we have the playoffs in about 7 weeks. So if Devin Booker is not at 100%, if he's at 98%, why even bother playing against Portland? Why? For far too long, we've seen where this franchise, under previous regimes, and I would say the fan base, has this expectation that Devin Booker should just go out and play every night for 38 minutes, 35 minutes. That's how it used to be, Brad. Your wussification of the NBA. No, this is your most valuable commodity. So why would you bring out your most valuable commodity when you need that commodity when you get to April 15th, when you get to April 30th, when you're playing every other night? Like the regular season of the NBA is becoming close to unwatchable for me. There's some nights where I'll watch it and I'll be like, okay, this is pretty darn good. And there's other nights when I see that last night's game, Coach Ott had the bench pretty well cleared out early on. Okay, this is a throwaway game. We just have to get through this. We don't have Grayson Allen. We don't have Devin Booker. We don't have Dylan Brooks. And now that they don't have Dylan Brooks, are they screwed? Well, Jalen Green's come back. Okay, but he hasn't shown the propensity to stay healthy yet. My point on this is you can win some games in March or say, what is wrong with the Suns? They got toasted by Portland. Or you can get everybody together. David Stern's wanting, David Stern, I am off today. Adam Silver is wanting to go down the pipe of let's bring harder rules in so that tanking doesn't happen. Good luck with that. They'll always try to find a way around it. So I'm disappointed on the Dylan Brooks injury, but it's what happens. This is a franchise. When I hear, oh, we're cursed or we can't have nice things in Arizona, ha, 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 ha. That's lazy. That's all it is. It's lazy. Beyond that, we've got Wilner next, and John and I are going to get into the Big 12 football side of things. He has his first preseason predictions out. They're up on the website. In order to do business of sports with Kyle Reno over at Monster Card Shop, I'm Brad Sussmat. How is John Wilner, Wilner Hotline? He joins us every Monday. I am guaranteeing today that a certain percentage of the audience is not going to like John Wilner. And that's okay. Because he's in the business of saying, look, when I put out my Big 12 football preseason predictions, and I put U of A in front of ASU, well, I know the result. And even if it were flipped the other way, I know the result. So, John, the column is up on the website. Why did you put BYU number one in the conference overall as you look at football season 2026?
Because the coin came up heads. I mean, that was, that was, it's the Big 12. And, you know, last year, Texas Tech was the preseason favorite and won the conference. It was fairly predictable, but typically the Big 12 is mayhem. I think most folks will look at Texas Tech as the favorite. They won it last year. They replaced, they upgraded a quarterback. Brendan Sorsby from Cincinnati is really good, will be a huge improvement for the Red Raiders. But I picked BYU because I look at the combination of returning head coach, returning offensive coordinator, returning quarterback, yeah, Bear Bachmeyer. That's a solid start. They're always good on defense. They got a great running back. You know, we'll see how it'll play out. It'll probably change spring practice, training camp. But right now I look at the Cougars and I think, you know what, they're the team to beat.
Okay, you had a note in there before I get over to ASU about Texas Tech, that while they're throwing all this money out right now to acquire talent, that's going to change. Fans may not know what's coming when you refer to that.
Yeah, it's, well, and it's confusing, and I don't have all the specifics about how much each school is spending, right? But last year's rosters were based on two things: the first year of revenue sharing, and also, I mean, last season's, I should say, to be clear, the 2025 season, the rosters were based on the first year of revenue sharing, and also all the NIL money that had been thrown at the players in the 6 to 9 months prior to revenue sharing. Mm-hmm. And that's what Texas Tech, as everybody knows, right? Cody Campbell, billionaire oil man, they plowed tens of millions into their NIL game. So they had a big advantage. But now we've had a full cycle of NIL and revenue sharing. And so the amount put in in advance for next season's rosters is more equal. Nobody has been able to front load with massive amounts of NIL like they were last year, because now you've got multiple years you've got to account for. You know, if that's easily explained, you kind of have to picture in your head, there's just no more advances in a way on NIL. And so that's why I think that the difference in spend between Texas Tech and everybody else isn't as great as it was when they were pouring money in 6 months before rev share.
Okay, so I hear all this, and I'm sure there's people in the audience too that feel the same way.
They're saying, what?
Cheating's not going to stop, John. There's going to be somebody.
I'm not saying it's cheating. It's not cheating. Well, it's not cheating, but it's I mean, it wasn't cheating when Texas Tech was spending $30 million on NIL or whatever it was. Okay. And it's not cheating now, but they've spent, you don't have this run up to a new system where you can front load. Everybody's doing it. I think that other schools, the difference between Texas Tech's roster spend and everybody else's, I don't think will be as great in the Big 12. Put it that way.
All right. And there's always ways to beat rules, right? There's just going to be people.
Oh, sure.
That's what I'm referring to. Maybe cheating was too strong of a word. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, you like Houston and West Virginia as sleepers. Why?
I mean, Houston, a little bit of a sleeper. They did well last year. I just think that they are a threat to win it. Willie Fritz is a terrific coach. He's kind of like Kirk Cignetti in that he is older before he got to the power conference level and won at multiple stops along the way, small college, you know, group of five. And here he is at Texas, at Houston, and they've got a very good quarterback room. Oklahoma State is another team I think could be a sleeper. They have not won a conference game since November of 23. 0-9 back-to-back years in the Big 12. But I like Eric Morris, who was at North Texas. He's going to bring a really good quarterback, Drew Mestemaker, over. I think if you're looking for a team that's going to do what ASU did in 2024, Oklahoma State is the pick.
Mm.
I really think that they could do some damage. And you know, picked the Big 12 is not doing, I should be clear, the Big 12 has done away with its preseason media poll. There will be no official, this team is picked to win, this team is picked last from the Big 12. They've done away with that because they don't want, like what happened to ASU, kind of they had a stigma attached to them.
But they have the John Wilner stigma now.
That's true. And I have picked ASU below Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And so below Houston.
Get right into that, John. Okay. Yes. You know, there's Sun Devil fans saying, oh, we're being slept on. Oh, we're disrespected. How can Wilner pick Tucson? How can he pick the Kitty Cats and all that nonsense? So,
well, they should be thanking me for picking them below Arizona, because that is a guarantee that they will finish above Arizona. Look, if you look at the two, and I just find this endlessly fascinating, the dynamic between Arizona and Arizona State. One rises, one falls. One rises, one falls. You know, they haven't been really good at the same time since 2014. And at some point in a future discussion, we should really dig into what the why of that and, you know, the basically the supply versus demand of talent that plays into that dynamic. But look, Arizona had a really good year. ASU was good, not what it was expected because of the injuries. They're going to probably finish tied or close to it. I just went with Arizona. I like the fact that Brent Brennan's got both coordinators and a starting quarterback returning. Kenny Dillingham has a new quarterback. And we don't know for sure that Cutter Bowley from Kentucky is going to play close to the level of Sam Levitt or Noah Fifita.
Right.
That's a big question.
No, I think it's fair. It's just, you know, fair doesn't work when it comes to the rivalry.
I totally get it. One of the teams is going to do something unexpected, but it's the Big 12. Last year, two teams finished in a tie for first, three teams tied for fourth, four teams tied for seventh. You know, we're going to see something like that. It's going to be a log jam somewhere.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, let's turn our attention to the 900-pound elephant in the room as we get ready for the madness of March and the NCAA men's tournament, and that is Darren Peterson at Kansas. So here's a player that is asking to be taken out of games, can't seem to stay healthy, is a top three pick. The view of him from every corner is he is not doing the right thing. He is wagging the tail. He is doing what he's supposed to do rather than what's best for the university. Is this commonplace? I mean, I've seen players that have said, okay, I'm going to be a NBA player in the future and I may not play as many minutes. And that was back before their players getting paid. Is he have the system by the tail, John?
He might. I mean, it's a little bit, it's a little bit like the guys who opt out of bowl games, okay, in a way, but we haven't seen it at this level. I mean, he's the number one pick based on talent.
Right.
He's probably the number one pick. You got to assume that his handlers, his advisors are in his ear saying, don't risk injury. If you feel the slightest twinge, if you think you might be catching a cold, you got to shut it down. You don't want to risk. Basically, it's a risk reduction, I think. And I'm sure he's doing it based on advice from the people in his inner circle.
Sure.
But it will be interesting to see the impact, both on Kansas in the NCAA tournament, because they did beat Arizona without him, and also on his draft status. At what point, we haven't really seen bowl opt-outs affect where guys get picked in the NFL. Could this affect where Peterson gets picked by the NBA? I think it will if he does this in the NCAA tournament, because that's where, you know, both with the CFP and the NCAAs, the pros want to see your competitive fire against the highest level of competition.
Yes.
And so that's why, you know, you can opt out of a bowl and it doesn't hurt you. But if you opted out of the CFP, there might be a big problem. We'll see if he is half-hearted in the NCAAs, which I don't think he will be. I think he'll show up to play. But if he does, you know, half-ass it, is that going to have an impact on his draft stock? It might.
I saw where Dick Vitale said it's just better for them to, you know, part ways and go different. And Dick's perspective is one of longevity. I think there's perspectives of people much, much newer to the sport, younger to the rules, that would say, oh, yeah, absolutely, that's the right way to go. I don't agree with that. I run into high school parents of high-end kids that say, we just hope he doesn't get hurt this year in his senior year of high school. Maybe he won't play all the way through. And I think that's bad. I just think that's bad.
It's easy to say for Bill Self, the Kansas coach, to say, you know what, the number one player in the country, the guy who could carry me to a title, is not going to play for us. I don't know. I don't see that happening, but you never know. They have shown they can win at a high level without him. Only Self knows the extent to which this thing is affecting his chemistry and his locker room, right?
Right.
And there's the talent tolerance, right? I mean, they wouldn't put up with this from a guy who's the 10th man, but we see it at every level of sports. The more talented you are, the more people are willing to put up with your shenanigans.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point, because the only people that know are those players in that locker room. Danny Ainge once told me that an NBA locker room, and I think this applies now to college, it's really 12 different corporations on 12 different islands with 12 different business plans. And I believe that that's where we are now in college basketball, not top to bottom, but all these dudes could be looking at each other saying, you know what, we came here to win. Yeah, I'm getting paid. This guy is not going to be out there with me wholeheartedly. I can't have him as a teammate. Flip side of that is, yeah, he's the most talented player in the country. So I think that's one big story to bear watching as we close in on March.
Oh, it is. It's a huge story. And not only because of its impact on this tournament, but could it affect players of, you know, next year's number one pick? We'll see. I mean, it's absolutely very much worth watching. And it will be worth watching in the Big 12 tournament too. I mean, you look at the Big 12 and BYU losing Richie Saunders and Texas Tech losing JT Toppin. You know, the number of teams capable of winning the Big 12 has shrunk, and Kansas is in that small group. If Peterson plays, if he doesn't play, you know, then you're looking at Arizona, Houston, Iowa State. It's almost a three-team race.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always, John. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, let's go in the cards for a couple of minutes here on a Monday. Reno is with us from Monster Card Shop. He was nice enough to dive on in. The Olympics are now done. Okay, I saw you last week, and we opened a few packs of Olympic cards. And I'm wondering, are these worth going after for fans based on what Team USA in men's and women's hockey did, Reno?
Yes, so I checked this yesterday. I thought that the Jack Hughes stuff was going to go bananas, and it did. So based on what these boxes go for, I think they're honestly a really awesome value rip now. They're under $100. I think most shops would have them under $100. And these Jack Hughes cards, the autographs, are selling for ridiculous amounts. I don't know how long that's going to happen, but yes, these Olympic boxes are great value now. The fact that Jack signed in them is crazy because not a lot of the other players did. So the one that scored the game-winning goal signed should have gotten the MVP.
Yes.
We cannot give an MVP to the losing team. What a ridiculous –
But I can make the argument too that the goalie should have had it. But no, yes. I understand what you're saying. What I'm wondering about these cards is, are they? And there's bunches of them. But in the case of what happened with the men's team, when you say a ridiculous number, if we're just talking about price, what's a ridiculous number 24 hours later for this card? For
his card. There's three up at auction, and I'm going to guess that they finish around $500 to $700. That's my guess, $500 to $700. The numbered cards, anything to like 50 or less, is going to finish higher than that. I think that the fact that there are base autos unnumbered of him in the box means that there's probably quite a bit. It's not like a ridiculously hard card to pull in a hobby box. So for that being one of the chases, remember, you get two autos in hobby. So $500 to $700 on a base auto is really, really crazy. Considering before this happened, I would say it's probably $150 card.
Okay. So these boxes, you don't have many left at Monster Card Shop. You have some just in general, when people watch this, what should they be looking for in the hobby for the Olympic men's hockey team? I can't go through every sport, but that one is the one that is causing all the buzz today. If you're into the hobby or you want to get into the hobby, what are you looking for the USA men's hockey team? How do you find good stuff?
Honestly, the guy you're looking for is Jack Hughes. I went through the checklist. He signed. Not a lot of the other players signed due to them being in Upper Deck exclusives. I believe Topps just did like an NIL deal, and he's kind of like in an Olympic practice jersey, not an NHL jersey, and that's why he's in the product. So that's going to be your main chase. There are tons of Olympic legends in the product, though. Like we talked a little bit. Yeah. One person I grew up growing, Apollo Anton Ono's in it. Like those types of people are in it. They have monetary value. But like, if we're talking today, Jack Hughes is the chase.
Okay. We'll let you go off that over at Monster Card Shop. Always good to get your insights, Reno. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout.